This episode of the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible is brought to you in part by Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide at easybiblenamesguide.com. Check it out. Thanks. Hello there, and welcome to the new LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. This is episode 586, and I'm Steve Webb, your host. If this is your first time here, welcome. If you're a long-timer, I'm glad you're back. This is the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible. We do that by reading the Old Testament on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and reading the New Testament on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Today, we're going to begin the New Testament book of 1 John. This book is one of three epistles, or letters, that are attributed to John the Apostle, who wrote the Gospel of John. He is the disciple that is often called John the Beloved, because it is thought that he is the one referred to six different times in the Gospel of John as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He is also the disciple who was with Mary at the foot of the cross, and into whose care Jesus entrusted Mary. The letters were not written to a specific church, but were intended to be circulated around to all the churches. It was to help them and encourage them in their devotion to Jesus, to remind them that false teachers would be around, and to emphasize that their love of God and people was paramount, especially other believers. Let's begin. 1 John chapter 1. The Word of Life existed from the beginning. We have heard it. We have seen it. We observed it and touched it. This life was revealed to us. We have seen it, and we testify about it. We are reporting to you about this eternal life that was in the presence of the Father and was revealed to us. This is the life we have seen and heard. We are reporting about it to you also so that you too can have a relationship with us. Our relationship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing this so that we can be completely filled with joy. This is the message we heard from Christ and are reporting to you. God is light, and there isn't any darkness in Him. If we say we have a relationship with God and yet live in the dark, we're lying. We aren't being truthful. But if we live in the light in the same way that God is in the light, we have a relationship with each other, and the blood of His Son Jesus cleanses us from every sin. If we say we aren't sinful, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. God is faithful and reliable. If we confess our sins, He forgives them and cleanses us from everything we've done wrong. If we say we have never sinned, we turn God into a liar, and His word is not in us. 1 John chapter 2. My dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. Yet, if anyone does sin, we have Jesus Christ, who has God's full approval. He speaks on our behalf when we come into the presence of the Father. He is the payment for our sins, and not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. We're sure that we know Christ if we obey His commandments. The person who says, "I know Him," but doesn't obey His commandments is a liar. The truth isn't in that person. But whoever obeys what Christ says is the kind of person in whom God's love is perfected. That's how we know we are in Christ. Those who say that they live in Him must live the same way He lived. Dear friends, it's not as though I'm writing to give you a new commandment. Rather, I'm giving you an old commandment that you've had from the beginning. It's the old commandment you've already heard. On the other hand, I'm writing to give you a new commandment. It's a truth that exists in Christ and in you. The darkness is fading, and the true light is already shining. Those who say that they are in the light but hate other believers are still in the dark. Those who love other believers live in the light. Nothing will destroy the faith of those who live in the light. Those who hate other believers are in the dark and live in the dark. They don't know where they're going because they can't see in the dark. I'm writing to you, dear children, because your sins are forgiven through Christ. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know Christ who has existed from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young people, because you have won the victory over the evil one. I've written to you, children, because you know the Father. I've written to you, fathers, because you know Christ who has existed from the beginning. I've written to you, young people, because you are strong and God's word lives in you. You have won the victory over the evil one. Don't love the world and what it offers. Those who love the world don't have the Father's love in them. Not everything that the world offers, physical gratification, greed, and extravagant lifestyles comes from the Father. It comes from the world, and the world and its evil desires are passing away. But the person who does what God wants lives forever. Children, it's the end of time. You've heard that an Antichrist is coming. Certainly, many Antichrists are already here. That's how we know it's the end of time. They left us. However, they were never really part of us. If they had been, they would have stayed with us. But by leaving, they made it clear that none of them were part of us. The Holy One has anointed you, so all of you have knowledge. I'm writing to you because you know the truth, not because you don't know the truth. You know that no lie ever comes from the truth. Who was a liar? Who else but the person who rejects Jesus as the Messiah? The person who rejects the Father and the Son is an Antichrist. Everyone who rejects the Son doesn't have the Father either. The person who acknowledges the Son also has the Father. Make sure that the message you heard from the beginning lives in you. If that message lives in you, you will also live in the Son and in the Father. Christ has given us the promise of eternal life. I'm writing to you about those who are trying to deceive you. The anointing you received from Christ lives in you. You don't need anyone to teach you something else. Instead, Christ's anointing teaches you about everything. His anointing is true and contains no lie. So live in Christ as He taught you to do. Now, dear children, live in Christ. Then, when He appears, we will have confidence, and when He comes, we won't turn from Him in shame. If you know that Christ has God's approval, you also know that everyone who does what God approves of has been born from God. 1 John chapter 3. Consider this. The Father has given us His love. He loves us so much that we are actually called God's dear children. And that's what we are. For this reason, the world doesn't recognize us, and it didn't recognize Him either. Dear friends, now we are God's children. What we will be isn't completely clear yet. We do know that when Christ appears, we will be like Him because we will see Him as He is. So all people who have this confidence in Christ keep themselves pure, as Christ is pure. Those who live sinful lives are disobeying God. Sin is disobedience. You know that Christ appeared in order to take away our sins. He isn't sinful. Those who live in Christ don't go on sinning. Those who go on sinning haven't seen or known Christ. Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you. Whoever does what God approves of has God's approval as Christ has God's approval. The person who lives a sinful life belongs to the devil, because the devil has been committing sin since the beginning. The reason that the Son of God appeared was to destroy what the devil does. Those who have been born from God don't live sinful lives. What God has said lives in them, and they can't live sinful lives. They have been born from God. This is the way God's children are distinguished from the devil's children. Everyone who doesn't do what is right or love other believers isn't God's child. The message that you've heard from the beginning is to love each other. Don't be like Cain. He was a child of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did Cain murder his brother? Because the things Cain did were evil, and the things his brother did had God's approval. Brothers and sisters, don't be surprised if the world hates you. We know that we've passed from death to life because we love other believers. The person who doesn't grow in love remains in death. Everyone who hates another believer is a murderer, and you know that a murderer doesn't have eternal life. We understand what love is when we realize that Christ gave His life for us. That means we must give our lives for other believers. Now, suppose a person has enough to live on and notices another believer in need. How can God's love be in that person if He doesn't bother to help the other believer? Dear children, we must show love through actions that are sincere, not through empty words. This is how we will know that we belong to the truth and how we will be reassured in His presence. Whenever our conscience condemns us, we will be reassured that God is greater than our conscience and knows everything. Dear friends, if our conscience doesn't condemn us, we can boldly look to God and receive from Him anything we ask. We receive it because we obey His commandments and do what pleases Him. This is His commandment, to believe in His Son, the one named Jesus Christ, and to love each other as He commanded us. Those who obey Christ's commandments live in God, and God lives in them. We know that He lives in us because He has given us the Spirit. May God bless the reading of His Word. John begins chapter 1 much like he did his gospel. He refers to Jesus as the Word, and he affirms that the Word has existed from the beginning. He says that he, John, personally saw and heard him. He says that it is through Jesus that we can have a relationship with God, and that when we have that, we have relationship with other believers. This is important because if we say we believe and yet don't love each other, we're fooling ourselves. And then at the end of chapter 1, we read one of the foundational truths of the gospel. John writes in verse 9, "God is faithful and reliable. If we confess our sins, He forgives them and cleanses us from everything we've done wrong." Of course, God sets a high standard for us, but He knows how weak and fallible we are. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, this forgiveness is available to all who believe. And in the opening verses of chapter 2, John continues this thought. And this one just blows me away. Did you know that you are a topic of conversation between Jesus and the Father? You are, and I am. Listen to this. John writes, "I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. Yet if anyone does sin, we have Jesus Christ, who has God's full approval. He speaks on our behalf when we come into the presence of the Father." When you and I sin, Jesus looks at the Father and says, "Forgive him, Father. I already paid for that sin with my blood." What better advocate could there possibly be? Such good news! Now, of course, there's a lot of golden nuggets of truth in these first three chapters, but I'm going to leave you with that last one. What's your favorite thought from today's reading? Let me know. Send me an email or a word of encouragement at steve@lifespringmedia.com. If you have not yet checked out my book, Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide, remember to do that today, easybiblenamesguide.com. Thanks. I'll see you next time. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Thanks for being here. Bye.